Hey, good morning. It's Jules.
And Jem.
And Jem. I was yawning.
I was going to let you say the name of our
podcast. And you're listening to Trans in the South.
And I had a couple things I wanted to talk about. It's been a little while since we last got on here, but a couple things have come up. One is, as you know, if you've had a vaginoplasty or if you listen to this podcast, dilating, at least for the first 6 months, which is what I'm into, becomes a huge part of your life. It's just the dilation part without preparation and all that is an hour and a half out of my day spaced evenly apart three times. I do dilate and I have been dilating and I constantly think of this line from Ghostbusters 2 where Janosch comes back to the world of reality after having been, I'm not going to spoil anything here for you, but after having been dominated by some evil spirit. And what has saved everybody is this oozy substance that they have discovered or something, the good guys. Anyway, they spray it everywhere and he comes back to life. And his line is, and I'm sure we'll dub it in here, his line is,
"You all right?
Why am I drippings with goo?"
Exactly. Why am I drippings with goo? It's all I can think about, or it's all I have been able to think about when I dilate, because I've been using the Surgilube, and it takes kind of a bit of it, and it gets into places.
Just a bit. You slather that shit on.
Oh, gosh. It's just all over the place. And of course, when you put it in, not to get too graphic, but it surrounding skin peels a lot of it off and it drips down into the next available orifice, which was not really part of what you were bargaining for. And it just is gross. And I'm wearing panty liners, you know, after every time I dilate, unless I shower then. And it's just gross. And it's just, it's not that gross, but it's,
having your butthole wet all the time is gross.
See, this is what I count on Jem for.
I can say the things you can't say.
I just can't. I know. I say the next available orifice and you say...
butthole.
There you go. So, anyway, I felt it kind of necessary.
That was a dilator falling on the floor.
I felt it kind of necessary to use the Surgilube, which is what I think one of the things my doctor recommended, because I was post-surgical. And there were wounds down there, and I didn't want to infect them. And Surgilube is supposed to be some sort of sanitary or antibacterial thing. And so I would use this and it worked, but you had to use kind of a lot and it got all over the place and it's messy. And I kind of got to the point where I thought maybe I don't need Surgilube anymore.
Here you go.
Thank you. Maybe something else would work. And we happen to have, for other purposes around the house, something called Slippery Stuff Personal Lubricant Gel.
I use it for, you know, doorknobs and hinges and things that are squeaking. All right, I use it for sex.
And I was running out. That's right. I was running out of Surgilube and I was preparing to order it. And of course, the snow's everywhere and COVID's everywhere. And this stuff is going to take a week and a half to get here and I won't have any lube. And so I tried this Slippery Stuff personal lubricant gel. And I started out with not much to see how that worked. And it turned out it worked great. So I guess what I'm doing is telling you that even if it's marginally more expensive, and that all depends in both cases on how much you buy at a time and where you get it, you use a lot less, which means a lot less gets into places where you don't want it in the first place, like
your butthole.
And also,
that's all I'm here for in this podcast.
That's not true. You wash.
I mean, this episode. Oh, what?
You wash the dilator that fell on the floor. while I'm dilating with a different one.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this slippery stuff, it works very well. It's very slippery. I don't have wounds down there anymore. So I'm just thinking that on a per dilation basis, it's cheaper because you use less and it seems to be more effective and it doesn't get, you're not drippings with goo everywhere, every time you dilate. So that little commercial announcement for which sadly I'm not going to be paid was the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to talk about, I've been thinking about things like that I call transgender bottlenecks. And this very happily, maybe for the first time or one of the first times, it is a concept that I apply to transgender people of all stripes, non-binary, trans women, trans men, it's just anybody who is transitioning. There is something that is keeping you from, this obviously doesn't happen to everybody, but I think it happens to a lot of people that I know, that is keeping you from getting to be the self you would like to be. You know, I'm taller than I would like to be, and there's not any surgery available in 2021 to correct that. There are other physical characteristics that there's no surgery available. You know, I've learned to live with these things. The bottleneck I have is my voice. And that, by that I mean, it's the one thing that bothers me most and the one thing that I think keeps strangers from identifying me as feminine or as female. I work on it. You, listener, can tell what I'm talking about. I have taken lessons in the past and perhaps will in the future, but I just wanted to say I encourage my listeners to keep at it, whatever your bottleneck may be, whatever that one thing that feels as though it's keeping you from getting where you're going, whether it's your voice high or low or your dress or whatever it might be. I do not ever stop working on and thinking about my voice and how I'm going to express myself. Fortunately, my partner is a voice actor.
Hey,
you. You want to talk about that for a second or not?
Like what my job is?
Well, talk about your job and talk about how that would apply to maybe helping yourself and your partner.
Okay, sure. Obviously, I'm AFAB and I've got a pretty big vocal range.
AFAB, for people who are just
assigned,
joining us.
Assigned female at birth. And I have a pretty big vocal range. That was just a genetic gift. And I have a degree in voice, in singing. And so that expanded my vocal range even more. And I was trained for 5 years to... and how to produce different sorts of sounds, tones, etc. So it makes it easy for me to manipulate my voice. And then with my job, I have to manipulate my voice even more for different things. And then I also got coaching from the same coach that Jules did, who I hope we can have on the program sometime.
Yeah, we're hoping to bring her on.
She's very cool. And she taught me, we worked on how to produce a passing masculine voice and how to produce a queer masculine voice. Neither of which I use that often because I am lazy. But I should. I think my ideal voice would be like gay male voice, like think JVN or who's that really famous Olympic figure skater?
Adam Rippon.
Right. I love him.
Yeah, he's cool. And I love listening to his audiobook.
And I'll never forget our stay. I remember my uncle really wanted me to hang out with this one neighborhood girl.
I feel like that's kind of my aesthetic. Like, feminine, but in a way that a man is feminine, despite being AFAB, whatever. Anyway, but so I do a lot of voiceover. That's my job for the female-coded voiceover. So I know how to produce different types of female sounds. And then my coaching with with our vocal coach helped even more for me to understand what the difference is between how quote unquote men speak and how quote unquote women speak. So that has allowed me to help you to say, oh, you need to bring it more into your nose, or you need to
modulate
more. Yeah. More modulation in your voice.
Right.
Those are things, you know, like I can just catch things that maybe the normal person wouldn't catch when it comes to your voice and be able to say, here's how you fix it. You know, bring your voice more forward into your palate or.
You know, and I feel like I'm letting, this is silly, this is how I always think, I feel like I'm letting Catherine, our teacher, down. I took lessons for kind of once every week or two, and I've kind of felt as though for a while I was doing well, and now I seems to have lost it. Anyway, it's nice to have you here. You don't insert yourself very often. And I haven't been able to persuade you to do that. But when I ask you...
I'll insert myself anytime you want, my dear. But that's for our sex show.
That's for our sex show. But that's my particular bottleneck. And I think our listeners, probably many of them, have those one or two things that really, right now, they feel are keeping them from being as transitioned as they would like. I very much hope that there are lots of listeners who have gotten to where they're just totally happy with where they are. But for those who don't, I just want to encourage you to keep at it. You know, if it's dressing, figure out whose dressing style you like or pay attention to that.
Go to the Goodwill and get yourself some clothes in that style. That's what I do.
But fortunately, I have a life partner who grew up in a much more feminine capacity. Happily for me, not necessarily for them. So I can always say, you know, do I take a purse into the doctor's office? Or I can always ask those questions.
Yes.
And it's nice to have that.
Yeah. And I like to be able to share those things with you because, I mean, it's not like I'm using a purse, so.
Right. And we do this both ways. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a nice relationship to have in that regard, so.
Yeah.
So that's it. I just wanted to encourage everyone and to tell you that one day I'm going to, my goal is to sound like the joke I had with Catherine, the voice coach, was that I wanted to sound like Audrey Hepburn. And we both laughed, and that's kind of an interesting thing, especially for people who are conversant with musical theater, because Audrey Hepburn is one of the two central figures in Pygmalion, where her character enters the narrative in one configuration, in this case, of socioeconomic configuration, and particularly a linguistic configuration. It's the way she talks, according to George Bernard Shaw, the author, keeps her from becoming a lady. And I also wanted to become a lady. So Catherine and I had a lot of fun with that. When I told her I want to be author Audrey Hepburn, we kind of realized simultaneously every once in a while, I would make this linguistic break or this vocal breakthrough. And Catherine would say, by George, she's got it. By George, which is a reference to one of the best ones. Yeah. The Rain in Spain. So,
The Rain in Spain.
So I'll never sound like Audrey Hepburn, but...
But you'll sound like you.
I will sound like me. And I just, you know, I guess one of the goals I have is to talk to somebody on the phone and for them not to wonder if they're talking to a man or a woman, because I've changed my name now and identify myself by name. I don't have that disadvantage of having to use my dead name. So anyway,
and my goal is to get on the phone with someone and not have them be able to tell whether they're talking to a man or a woman.
Exactly.
I want them to wonder.
I know. Which is great.
We have opposite problems.
We have opposite problems.
Yes. And when I change my name legally, then they'll be even more confused because it's a unisex name.
Yeah.
Not Jem.
Not
Jem. You were wondering. Yeah. That's not the name I'm changing it to.
That's not their name, actually. Okay, that's all I had. Anything?
That's it. I want to go get breakfast now.
Okay, everybody stay healthy.
Stay safe.
And stay safe. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.